these guys are all in bed with one another. They pretend to be fighting on the political stage, but they're all about making money and they're all about scam corporate deals. I mean, it's just like this overall theme of this is the golden age of criminality in America. I mean, if I were a criminal, I would be thrilled because this is the best time you could ever want to live in the United States, possibly the world.
You're listening to The Corbett Report.
Hello, friends. James Corbett, CorbettReport.com, coming to you in a conversation that's being recorded on the 29th of March, 2016, with Michael Krieger of LibertyBlitzkrieg.com. And if you have not heard of him or his website before, then I will take at least partial responsibility for that, because although I have been following his work for some time, this is the first time he's been on the program. So, Michael Krieger, it's great to finally have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, James. It's great to be with you. I've been following your work as well over the years, so I'm very glad you reached out, and hopefully we can have more conversations in the future.
Excellent. Well, as I explained in the email I sent you to set up this interview, my eye was caught by this particular article that you had up a few days ago on LibertyBlitzkrieg.com, link in the show notes as always. America's top rogue mercenary, Blackwater's Eric Prince, is under federal investigation. An intriguing title, if for nothing else than the fact that I think Blackwater is still an evocative name in the public imagination, although it is probably still linked in most people's minds to mercenary force in occupied Iraq after the invasion. They gunned down some civilians, there were some shenanigans, they changed their name a bunch of times and kind of went away. And I think that's where the story kind of lies for most people. And although the name Eric Prince might ring a bell for people as the former CEO of the former Blackwater, probably people don't really know the crazy shenanigans that he's been up to in the last several years since he departed what was left of Blackwater and gone on to become a resident of Abu Dhabi and found another mercenary group and is now under federal investigation. Just a bunch of craziness. Perhaps you can fill us in on some of the blanks that have happened in the last several years in the saga of Eric Prince.
Sure, James. So it's pretty interesting. I'd done some articles about Prince and Blackwater in the past, but never really dug into the details in a huge way. So when you asked to talk about it, I said, well, let me do a bit more reading. And I did. And it just the story, it's all come together now in such a crazy, crazy manner, as you sort of alluded to. So they really, if you really want to go back sort of to the beginning, when Blackwater first hit the stage, it was around 2003, when, remember, Paul Bremer was the sort of a diplomat, or if you want to call it that, to Iraq right after the invasion. So Blackwater got a lot of those contracts. So that's where it all started. And then pretty soon afterwards, about 2005, 2006, you started to see like the questionable shootings. People started dying. There was a case of one Blackwater employee who was supposedly drunk and shot a bodyguard to a vice president in Iraq. And then this is where it gets really interesting. About 3 weeks before the Nisour Square massacre, which you mentioned, a Blackwater manager threatened to kill the State Department investigator who was in Iraq looking around and trying to see what Blackwater was up to, because again, it had this history. Now, what was so interesting is the embassy in Baghdad actually said that they took the side of Blackwater, and the State Department investigator actually left, right, Iraq. And then 3 weeks later, you had the massacre of 17 civilians, which basically marked the beginning of the end of Blackwater really getting these contracts. But of course, they were awarded over a billion dollars in State Department contracts, and not just State Department contracts, also classified CIA operations. They were involved with the assassination program with the CIA. Of course, what Prince was doing with State Department backing was a lot of the dirty work that the CIA and the State Department didn't want to be able to be traced back to them. So that's the interesting thing. Since then, as you mentioned, Prince actually sold Blackwater in late 2010. And that's when it was like renamed Academy, and which, by the way, is still earning contracts from the Obama administration and the CIA. But what did he do afterwards? Immediately afterwards, he was hired by the Prince of Abu Dhabi to raise a mercenary force, 800-person force, to basically protect the royals in Abu Dhabi. Yeah, and you know, he was recruiting people. Like, there were a bunch of articles about this talking about he was flying in Colombians, you know, to come. It was a totally foreign mercenary force. He was working with former mercenaries from South Africa that had been used to put down rebellions in Africa through this other shady South African company. I think it was called Expedition something, but you should look into it. It's crazy, the tangled webs. And then, of course, now he's – and by the way, the Abu Dhabi thing sort of had complicit backing by the Obama administration, not officially, but they let it happen, even though he was raising foreign armies for a foreign country. But it was okay. Now, of course, they've created this monster who's on the loose, and he's moved on to Africa and China. So now the U.S. is all worried about it because he's actually working with Chinese intelligence and this company that he's now chairman of, Frontier Services Group. It's a Hong Kong-listed company, which is the majority financial backer is CITIC, which is a state-backed Chinese company. So here we got Prince now involved in Chinese intelligence, Chinese banks, helping to basically conquer resources in Africa for China. And now there's an investigation. So, you know, they let this guy go for 15 years and now there's a problem. But they created this guy.
They certainly did. And again, just that overview is just, it's crazy. Incredible of the things that have happened in the last few years, largely, as I say, under the news radar, unless you've really been following the few stories that have popped up around him. But I mean, there's so many interesting connections there in just what you've mentioned, including CITIC Group, that people might remember as one of the key players in my China and the New World Order podcast, where I was exploring the connections between the American business and corporate financiers and the Chinese capitalist orders in the Deng Xiaoping era. CITIC Group is one of the key investment vehicles, and it's one of the key backers of FSG, the Frontier Services Group, that Prince is now heading. Now, there was a number of things, but apparently this federal investigation is focusing mostly around the idea of some money laundering that Prince was apparently engaged in for Libya through Chinese banks. Can you explain that to us a little?
This is where it sort of gets interesting. So the two things that there's sort of like three things, at least from the Intercept article, that seem to be going on here. I think they might go with the money laundering charges. And my thinking behind that is because of the fact that all of the other things that he's doing that may be illegal are things that the U.S. State Department and government explicitly allowed for so long, right? So they're kind of going to that one thing that they can kind of come out there and say, this guy is horrible, he's money laundering. Whereas the really nasty things he's doing, the U.S. government has been allowing and in fact backing in other areas. So they kind of, you know, need that as a side thing. But I actually think they're mostly concerned with him working with the Chinese government and Chinese intelligence towards geopolitical aims that may be contradict the U.S. government's. But as far as the money laundering specifically, yeah. So he basically needed to find a way to get money from the source to Libya to fund his operations there, which were ostensibly to help with the refugee crisis, but of course had to have to do with other things. You know, Libya is a major producer of crude oil, amongst other things. You know, so it's a strategically important country. And so what happened was Prince kept trying to open up bank accounts and couldn't. And then he met with some Chinese officials, and then lo and behold, he was able to open up a bank account. So that's what they were talking about. But again, I think that sort of – at first I read that and I thought, okay, well, this is interesting. But now that I've read more, I sort of feel like that's just the excuse, the sort of distraction to sell to the public of why they're going after Prince now as opposed to, you know, over the last 15 years.
Well, as you point out, I mean, there are obvious connections, explicit and implicit, between Prince and his various organizations and the State Department and what they've been doing in various countries that make, I'm sure, for some uncomfortable ties for these exactly. investigators who start pulling at some of these threads of this story. And one of them that you sent me in an email as we were preparing for this interview talked about the public relations firm that Prince hired when he was dragged before a congressional committee back in 2007 to answer to some of the atrocities that were happening in Iraq and Afghanistan as a result of Blackwater's actions, and some of the State Department ties that were involved in that group. Can you tell us about that?
Well, yeah, no, there were basically ties throughout the governments, and then ties from people that are actively involved in the Republican National Committee and then the Democratic National Committee. And what you really read in that paragraph, which is like it almost gives you a headache because of all the ties, is the fact that it's sort of like with the Wall Street, you know, Washington connection. It's these guys are all in bed with one another. They pretend to be fighting on the political stage, but they're all about making money and they're all about scam corporate deals. I mean, it's just like this overall theme of this is the golden age of criminality in America. I mean, if I were a criminal, I would be thrilled because this is the best time you could ever want to live in the United States, possibly the world. And even I forget the exact I should go look it up again because I read so much yesterday. But there was even somewhere in there with Blackwater and the defense a tie to Covington and Burling. One of the guys that was involved with them, and that of course is the law firm that defends all the Wall Street criminals. And Eric Holder went back to work for them. Lonnie Brewer went back to work for them. So even Covington and Burling came up in this, which I was just like, I can't believe it. So it's all of these DC organizations, the think tanks, the contractors, the government, the Wall Street banks. It's all just this tangled web, and they're all involved in it together. So therefore they never go after each other. It's like Larry Summers said to Elizabeth Warren, said, insiders don't criticize insiders. That was his line. And that's how this whole thing works.
Unfortunately so. Again, not probably a surprise to either your audience or my audience, but still good to document this and see some of the connections that are here, because I think there are some very interesting things going on. This does not, of course, bode well for the idea that Prince will actually either even be prosecuted at all, let alone successfully prosecuted. And you did bring up the thorny issue that the State Department under Obama has continued to award contracts to the Blackwater remnant legacy companies that splintered off from Blackwater, which have complicated the attempts to prosecute Blackwater for what it was involved in back in the time when Prince was the CEO. That's just one of the problems here. I'm not looking for a legal opinion here, but what do you think are the chances that this will actually result in some sort of prosecution, let alone successful prosecution?
It's an interesting question, because at first when I was reading the article in The Intercept, I was thinking like, well, this would be great if Prince was actually brought to justice, because finally, you know, a really bad guy who was sort of tangled in the military industrial complex and murders, you know, shadiness would finally be brought to justice. And I think the world is a much, much safer place with Eric Prince in a cell. So that's a good thing no matter what. Unfortunately, if they do put him away, I am 100% of the belief that has absolutely nothing to do with justice, and it just has to do with the fact that they're concerned about him helping China and going against U.S. geopolitical games. So I think there's a reasonable chance they do go after him. Now, he's, of course, Abu Dhabi doesn't have an extradition treaty with the United States, so he didn't settle there by accident. So we'll see if they can even get their hands on the guy. He does have an estate in Virginia still. But he's probably not going to be landing in the United States anytime soon. My guess is there's a decent chance the Justice Department does really go after him. But again, this is just to thwart his geopolitical ambitions with China, and is not a signal that the rule of law is coming back to America. And that's the bigger issue.
Yeah, exactly. And really, the ultimate message here is, as long as you're playing on our team, we'll protect you. Don't worry.
Exactly.
Just don't stray off the reservation.
Exactly.
Interesting. Well, this does tie into a lot of the themes of the work that you cover on Liberty Blitzkrieg. And as I say, this is your first time on the program. Perhaps you can just introduce your website and your work to the listeners.
Sure. Thanks, James. So Liberty Blitzkrieg is something I started in 2012. I actually have a history of work. I worked on Wall Street for 10 years right out of college. I've talked about this a lot on the site. You can sort of see a video in my about section about sort of the journey I came through. But, you know, graduated college, didn't know what I was doing. Wall Street was hiring. I did commodities there for 10 years at two different firms. So that was what I, you know, studied. It was always macro. It was always geopolitics. So, you know, but I was pretty much brain dead. As far as what was going on in the world, which gives me kind of, I think, a unique perspective, because I know what it's like to just be kind of just a victim of propaganda and brain dead, even though you think you're smart and aware and you're doing so well in your career. But then around the financial crisis, something hit. And I basically saw the response to the bailouts and all that stuff. And that was it for me. You know, I was like, this is a scam. I mean, this is total BS. And I started writing about it in my seat on Wall Street. And actually, a lot of people were liking it. But eventually, I had to part ways and leave. I couldn't do it anymore. And I started the website in 2012 just to share my perspective on stuff coming from a financial background, coming from that world. You know, when people talk about that world, I mean, I grew up in that world. I know the motivations of people in it. I know what's going on. I know how they think. It's a real shame that fewer people are sort of calling the whistle on it. I mean, for example, let's just take Eric Prince, the guy. You know, I don't know if you know this, James, but they sold his father's company for $1.3 billion. I mean, the guy doesn't need the money. Yeah, his dad was a hugely successful auto parts entrepreneur. So the guy, you know, gets a huge estate. He's probably hundreds of millions of dollars. And what does he do? He becomes a mercenary. And that is the ethics and culture of America. So for me personally, I'm someone who, like you, thinks of themselves as a truth teller, thinks of themselves as a teacher, trying to get people to say, to know what's going on, and then beyond that, say to themselves, am I an ethical human being? And if I'm an ethical human being, how am I going to live my life? Because I think as much as what's going on in this country, in this world, is a function of a lack of ethics as anything else. And people think ethics are just a joke. You know, it's like, I just want money. I just want fame. As long as that's the culture, nothing is going to get better. So that's what I'm trying to do on the website. So you guys, if your listeners would check it out, it'd be great. It's libertyblitzkrieg.com.
Excellent. Well, it is that's a very insightful thing to say, because I think there is a line that we can draw from the 1980s and, you know, Wall Street, the movie and all of that, from that almost looks kind of innocent in retrospect.
Right. Funny, how naive, you know, it was funny then.
Yeah, I mean, and now it's just gotten worse and worse, and right. It's a snowball that's rolling downhill, so we're starting to reap the real consequences of that, and you are doing a good job of keeping track of all of that. Once again, we'll direct people to libertyblitzkrieg.com. The link will be in the show notes, as well as links to all of the things that we've discussed in this conversation. Michael Krieger, thank you very much for joining us. I hope this is the first of more conversations in the future.
Thanks, James. I'll be happy to join you again.